Hey, welcome back to Football on Full Heel. We're coming at you remotely from different locations for, I think, the third or fourth week in a row now. So thank you for joining us remotely in this, the time of COVID-19 and social upheaval. I'm joined by my boys, Johnny. Andres was here. He'll be back. I think he just lost signal. He'll join in a second. And of course, Rafa Donkeytron holding it down in the studio.
Yo.
Behind the keys, behind the pads. So thanks again for tuning in and joining us. Hit the subscribe, hit the like, give us some comments, let us know what you think. And don't forget to check out the rest of the Full Heel lineup. We've got some fights this weekend too, so check out probably a watch along or fight companion for UFC 250. Now that we got all the promo out of the way, all the formalities, we can get to some serious stuff. This last week, again, in the midst of Corona, has seen another just disgusting example of police brutality and systemic racism in our country. And unfortunately, George Floyd died in Minneapolis, Minnesota. So first and foremost, I just want to say that myself, as well as everybody here, stands with Black Lives Matter. And hopefully this can all be resolved soon, man. We need some change. This is heavy stuff. So heavy that the rest of the world has taken notice. The sporting world and just international in general. This weekend we saw Jadon Sancho, as well as some other young Bundesliga stars, Marcus Thuram and Weston McKennie as well. We're all, Weston McKennie had the armband that said justice for George Floyd. Jadon Sancho scored a hat trick and revealed his Under Armour right that said justice for George Floyd. And Thuram took a knee, Colin Kaepernick style. So while all this is going on, it's both impressive and good to see young international athletes taking notice and using their platform. What did you guys think about those three examples in the Bundesliga? There were some other ones too. The one that Johnny, I think, or Quadio sent, Liverpool in training all took a knee at the start of their last training and all of that. So what do you guys think about these displays of solidarity amongst the football world?
I think the thing is what you said is that this had a global reach, probably more than any other police brutality incident that I can remember. And it's really taking the world not by storm, but it's putting everyone on like notice to kind of reflect for a moment. Think if that was you, how, like, I don't know, it's a lot of stuff going on, but it's kind of how you said, it's good to show solidarity and that people are taking notice and that hopefully something changes, you know? Yeah, Sancho doing that was cool. He got a yellow card though. And I think Hendo and Van Dijk were the ones that led it, supposedly,
for Liverpool.
A little montage, yeah. So I try not to get too into all that stuff, so I'll just leave it at that.
You have anything to add on this?
No, I mean, I support it. I mean, those players also, you know, are big idols for the younger generation. So, I mean, if they see, you know, those young stars kind of show that they care and that, you know, they support this movement and, you know, just racial, whatever it is, class, quality, anywhere, you know, in the world. So maybe it hits here, but also hits at home back there. So there's, I mean, it's all human. It's a human connection, you know, so it's good to see.
And that's a good point, because we know that everywhere else in the world, there's racism as well, including in football. Unfortunately, we still have the instances in Russia and Italy, even in England, right? And unfortunately, of players taking racial abuse. So it's good to see these guys take a stand, because sometimes it feels like FIFA and UEFA and the leagues don't really take it seriously, right? So props to those guys. Awesome that they use their platform. And also, it's really cool, but also just kind of surreal, right? That the world is watching, right? And yeah, it's just, shit needs to change. They need to act. And we all know what they mean, what I mean by they, right? In other news, Johnny won the picks 2 weeks in a row. Johnny's on a roll with these Bundesliga picks. Congratulations, less, Johnny. I'll give
less
it to
content,
you.
Less content, that's why.
Right? I don't know. I missed the week. I have to catch up, I guess.
Yeah, well, Johnny made 3 successful picks out of 4 last week. Andres and I both got 2. We'll make another 4 picks at the end of the show. Elsewhere, the Premier League is set to come back on June 17th with 2 matches that were previously postponed. And it looks like the most important or most thrilling one, at least, is Man City versus Arsenal. So as soon as the Premier League comes back, it looks like it's going to come back with a good match. So
isn't it also United Spurs?
Sheffield United, I believe. Aston Villa, Sheffield United, and Arsenal Man City will be the first 2 matches before they resume midweek, because I believe all of those teams have a match at hand.
Oh, right.
Because of the FA Cup? Mm. Or no, sorry, the other cup.
It might be 2 games, I think, in hand.
Well, yeah, they're going to catch up. But that's a great match to return to action there, City versus Arsenal. Mm-hmm. Of course, Arteta, having been an assistant coach there at City for the last couple of years and just leaving in the winter, right, against his mentor, Guardiola there. Interesting dynamic. Interesting to see there. Also, since we're talking about City, first week of June, actually in a couple of days, in about a week, on the 8th through the 10th, they have their appeal. To see whether or not that ban for the Champions League stands. So lots to look out for, and stuff we'll keep you posted on and brief you on as it develops. In Italy, the Coppa Italia is supposed to return on the 13th of June, and then the league begins in full on the 20th. So we're getting closer to Italian calcio as well. And the cool thing or interesting thing about Serie A is they have a plan B and a plan C ready to roll. So plan A is they finish these matches without any incident. Plan B, if somebody tests positive, the thing about Italy is the whole team has to self-isolate after one positive test, whereas everywhere else they just isolate the players. So if one player from one team tests positive in Italy, that whole team has to isolate, and then throws off the scheduling for everybody else. So plan B is to do a tournament just to determine the Champions League spots, the champion, and then the relegation spots as well. And then I'm reading that plan C is some math equation where they factor in points per game to see who the champion is and who would get relegated. So a lot of things to consider there for Serie A, but at least it looks like starting the 13th, we'll be seeing some action there. So hopefully they don't get any more positive tests, because it looks like things could really come to a screeching halt there quick. La Liga is supposed to come back on the 11th as well with the Seville Derby, Sevilla versus Betis. And then the other 2 brief things I want to mention about international leagues or international football. MLS just narrowly avoided a lockout. Yesterday, the league gave the players the option to take a pay cut for the rest of the season if and when there's a season, or there was going to be a lockout and the season wasn't going to get played. And they had until noon today to give them their decision, and it looks like they had some sort of compromise and MLS avoided a lockout. So it looks like, COVID permitting, and institutional racism permitting, MLS avoided a lockout. And then last thing, bums me out a little bit. Morelia, the regional team in Mexico, in Liga MX, announced today that they are officially moving from Morelia to Mazatlán. Michoacán loses their team effectively, and Mazatlán Sinaloa gains their team. So my parents are both from the Morelia area. So I'm bummed to hear about that historic club from that area is leaving, and that those fans will be left with nothing now. Like Seattle got done when the NBA took their team and stuff like that. So crazy stuff like this happens all the time. In Liga MX, and teams get relocated, and there's shady business going on all the time. But Morelia is one of those regional clubs that has been there in the first division for 30, 40 years. So it's going to be hard to look at that team for me, at least. So yeah, if you're into Mexican soccer, it's a big news there. When it does return, Morelia will be no more. They were just competing in the semifinals for the championship, and now they'll be in another town. So my heart's with you, Morelia fans. Sucks. But now moving on to actual football that's going on right now. The Bundesliga, again, has everybody's attention. And this weekend, guys, was high scoring. We saw, well, the Bundesliga has had a trend of high scoring action all season, but Bayern Munich crushed Fortuna Dusseldorf 5-0. Dortmund without Haaland scored 6 goals. Leipzig on Monday scored 4 goals. So we're talking just straight blowouts. So again, for those of you guys who are looking for something to watch or haven't been paying the Bundesliga its dues, it's fun to watch. There's a lot going on, even without the fans. So definitely check that out on Fox, Unimas on the weekends, FS1, I believe, Fox Soccer. So definitely keep your eye on it, because while Bayern has gained a little bit more separation, still a lot going on. What do you guys think about the league being so high scoring? Why is that happening? Is it a tactically weak league defensively? Are just these teams just really offensively potent? What do you guys think?
I think it's just an overall trend of the way, you know, the Bundesliga is marketed. You know, I think a lot of young talent has come from, you know, Bundesliga, like over the last, 5 years. So they're just really good at marketing, you know, their players as, you know, high scoring forwards or high scoring wingers or, you know, dynamic defenders or whatever. So, I mean, it's also the game is also getting a lot faster. So there's a lot more, you know, let's go forward, press, fast counter, you know, rather than like slower tactical games.
Yeah, I would agree. I think we were talking about it a couple months back. It's probably where I would want to play right now. Seems like there's a lot of action, a lot of like, it's not predicated on defense. Teams are more willing to attack. There's a lot of young talent, huh, Andre said, and it's just like, there's still, I don't know how that there's as many like big teams that people can like name off the top, you know, besides like the obvious Dortmund, Bayern. Like, I would say part of that is because those teams have dropped the other teams that used to be pretty big, like Schalke. Leverkusen has kind of wandered off. Wolfsburg has gone into some type of like spiral. You see RB Leipzig, that new wave or whatever is emerging. I'm gonna butcher it, but Munchblog or whatever.
Gladbach.
So I think it's a mixture of things, but I think it's also I don't know. It was close all year, and right now it's that gap. It's a big gap now for Bayern.
Yeah, they're just cruising right now, going from strength to strength. They got Andres' boy, Luca Hernandez, back this weekend, playing at center back. And they're just young and loaded, right? I guess depth stacked, right, where they have Lucas coming in and starting his first match in months. Right. And Bayern goes on to win 5-0. Granted, it was Fortuna Dusseldorf, right? Good. It's hard to argue that they're not the best team in that league right now. We'll see again if this proves to be a strength for them in the Champions League when the Champions League returns. But again, it's theirs to lose, right? There's no way that Bayern doesn't win this league.
Yeah, they should win the league. Yeah.
I didn't see who played in the mid for them then. Kimmich again?
They played a Kimmich, four. Goretzka. Yeah, go ahead on this.
Kimmich, Goretzka, and I think Mueller played.
They played a 4-2-3-1, right? So they had Kimmich and Goretzka, like Andres said, in center mid. And then in front of them, they had the three guys. They had Coman, Gnabry, and Mueller, and then Lewandowski up top. So with Thiago out, they had Goretzka fill in the center mid, and they didn't skip a beat. So again, just kind of shows you the options they have, right? Because
Pavard had a brace too.
Yeah, right. Gnabry is a monster. Lewandowski scored again, which brings him up to 43 goals now, guys, on the season, which I think is ties his personal best. Quick thing on him, he's hands down the Ballon d'Or, right, for this year. Interruption and all. Or do they have to win something?
I think it's a little too early to tell, but definitely if anything else resumes, like Champions League, we'll have to judge him by that, you know? But he's definitely top striker right now in the world.
I would agree with Frankie. And sometimes if maybe someone that had a similar season maybe wins the champs or does something big, they might take it. But I don't think anyone's close, right? But people are close to him in terms of assists and goals because he has like 40 goals, what? 5 assists or less?
I think he's got 43 like total goals, yeah. Right? But in the league, I think he's got 32 goals and assists now, which is crazy. I think he's got 25 goals in the league and the rest are assists. So,
I think it helps that right now the German league is the only league playing, and it kind of highlights Bayern's superiority and the season that Lewandowski's been having, which is how you said his best season of all time. So, I mean, yeah, that's good to see. I can't argue against it.
Yeah, you know? Mueller's having a stellar season too, right?
He's gonna break Kevin De Bruyne's assist record, right? He's like 2 away.
Yeah, he's really close. He's on 17 assists for the season now. That's more than De Bruyne himself, right? And he's currently Europe's like assist king, right?
Yeah.
What do you think, Andres? I know you're a big fan of Mueller. You've been saying he's underrated this season. What do you think is bringing this on? I have my theory, which I'm pretty sure you know already. But why do you think Mueller's having such a good season?
Why is that? Because I think that Bonzi Flick had confidence in him, you know, as soon as they saw that they weren't getting any goals. And, I mean, Mueller in center mid position, whatever position he plays, he just reads the game so well that he can, you know, he'll draw in if defenders pull out, or he'll just be that guy in the empty space, I guess. And him and Lewandowski, Gnabry, all those guys have had, like, mad assists between each other, so I think Gnabry hit like 15-10 for the season or something like that. Joining like Messi and Hazard or something like that.
Sancho. No, I think that was Jadon Sancho.
Oh, was that Jadon Sancho?
Yeah, it was Jadon Sancho.
I think he hit double digits in both. So, you know, it's a key part.
Well, yeah, Bayern, again, just in straight cruise control. Sula, their big center back, is probably the biggest injury right now. But other than that, they've got everybody ready to go for the crucial part of the season. So there's the lose. I guess the other contender, the other team that could possibly still give Bayern some problems is Borussia Dortmund. And they, of course, won 6-1 this last weekend. Let me tell you, the scoreline is a little deceptive. The first half was terrible. Dortmund without Haaland just didn't look threatening. It didn't look like they knew how to cope without him. It took them a while to figure it out. But when they did in the second half, they just started raining goals. And by the end of it, Jadon Sancho had 3 goals, which now brings him to, I think it's, I mean, for a while now, he's been in double digits for both goals and assists. I believe that brings him to 16 goals and 17 assists now on the season. 17, crazy, crazy numbers. Those are Leo Messi type numbers. First player.
That was the list I was referring to. I think Messi did it like 4 times, Hazard twice.
Yep, he's one of 5 players since, I think, 06 to have over 15 goals and 15 assists in a season. And he's getting close to Henry numbers when Henry hit the 2020 season. He's getting real close. I think he can get it by the end of the Bundesliga campaign. 16, and he's at 16 and 17. That's 4 and 3, totally within his reach. So even without their new brilliant young striker, Dortmund looking good. Do you guys still think they're in the running? Do they have a chance?
They'll get a Champions League spot, but not for the title, no.
Yeah, it's kind of... They lost last week, and that was the game they needed to win if they're going to really push for it. I don't know. I don't see Bayern dropping points. I mean, maybe a tie, but I don't know. I can't see it. Because the gap is what? Like, isn't it
7 points.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chan came in, and he made a huge difference in the second half. Just controlled the midfield, Emre Chan. And then Witzel played too. Axel Witzel came in. So those are 2 crucial additions for them. But I'm going to agree with you guys and think it's too little too late. I think those guys are going to help them a lot. But at this point, the gap is 7 points, right? And then with those 7 points, they have Leipzig a point behind them right there in 3rd place. So I think that's going to be a little bit more concerning, a little bit more of a priority to try to finish in 2nd, because like Johnny so eloquently put it, the game they had to win, the match they had to win was last week, and they got chipped by Kimmich in what was – easily one of the goals of the season so far. So, just kind of bums me out because Dortmund has some great young players, and I'm one that thinks that because of their model of bringing in young guys, developing them for a little bit, and then selling them at a profit, this was a big year for them. This was a year that they had to take advantage of. So, looks like it slipped their grasp. Another Leipzig kind of has an outside chance as well. They won. Timo Werner scored again. They blew out their competition this weekend as well. They tied Hertha Berlin actually last week on the day after we last went on, and then rebounded by winning yesterday. So they might be able to apply a little bit of pressure to Bayern there too, but they're 8 points behind. So I don't know. We'll see if they can still make it a little bit entertaining there, because other than us being starved of sport and entertainment right now, right? It was really thrilling to get the Bundesliga back first because it seemed to be the most competitive. But it looks like the usual order resumes, and Bayern is just coming out on top. Any chance for Leipzig to make some impressive run here?
For 2nd? Probably.
But they're not bothering yeah. Bayern?
Unless they play each other. I don't know that they do.
Aren't they still in the Pokal Cup?
In the German Cup, and then they're in Champions League as well. So who knows? Maybe they put their eggs in the Champions League basket too, right? But they also do have, like Dortmund, an interesting young team. Today, Dani Olmo scored, the young Spanish midfielder who they have. They had, again, Timo Werner scored, who's probably going to move this summer. They had a goal from Schick. I think he's on loan from Roma. He's on loan from one of the Italian teams. And then they have a couple and Nkunku, who they got from PSG, Tyler Adams, the young American midfielder. They've got some nice pieces there too, but what they don't have is experience, right? And that's clearly what Bayern has, other than just straight balling players at every position, right? So yeah, keep an eye on the Bundesliga. Again, even if Bayern's got a 7-point advantage, even if there's some separation starting to form there, every match is back and forth. It's all out, mostly attacking. And again, in the last 3 weeks, I've seen a couple comebacks from 2-0 to 2-2, where, you know, Bayern for a little bit was threatened by Frankfurt a couple weeks back. So definitely watch the Bundesliga if you can. And if you can't, once again, don't worry, because it looks like everything else is coming back in 2 weeks. So hang in there. We just about made it. And now something that we did last week that I liked, that I think you guys liked, and we got a pretty positive reaction from our four viewers. This day in history, right, in football. Since we don't have any live action going on other than the Bundesliga, just to like to talk about some past historic teams or historic moments in soccer. I'll go with the biggest one, or not the biggest one, but the one that happened the longest ago, if I'm making any sense there. 16 years ago today, Jose Mourinho is announced and presented the manager of Chelsea Football Club at the start of the 2004-05 season. This is the same day where he had that press conference where he called himself the special one, right? And then, sure enough, that team would go on to win back-to-back Premier League titles and set all kinds of records. Most of them have been broken, but the one record that 2004-05 Chelsea still has is they allow the fewest amount of goals in a season. They only allowed 15 goals in a Premier League season, which, again, is crazy. And even crazier than now that 16 years later than Porto won a Champions League 16 years ago, right? And Mourinho joined Chelsea and became a big-time manager, right? So do you have any memories of Chelsea in those days, Andres? 2004-05, we were starting high school, right? So do you have any memories of that Chelsea team under Mourinho?
I think the few players that stood out for me for that season was Drogba. I think that was one of his first seasons. And then Carvalho, you know, Carvalho followed him from Porto, his former club.
Yep.
Low-key, I think he might have, like, one of the better win records for, like, amount of games played for a player in the Premier League. So he was definitely a winner for Mourinho. And he's one of the few players I remember, you know, standing out on that team.
Yeah, that's a big thing there too, right, is Mourinho's arrival. But maybe even bigger was when Roman Abramovich bought the club, right, and all this money started being poured in. And, yeah, that team had players like Damien Duff, right, players like Makalele in the midfield, mm-hmm. right, we're talking about
John Terry,
young John Terry, right? Young Frankie Lampard. Yeah, just a really young Arjen Robben when he still had hair too, right? Just a pretty well built squad. Young
back,
and powerful.
Back left.
You have any memories of that Chelsea squad, Johnny, that started winning titles and kind of broke the—
Is that J. Cole and J. Cole and
Joe Cole?
Yeah, J. Cole and Balak? Balak was in there or no?
They signed him, I think, 2 years later.
I just remember, sorry about that, I cut you off. I just remember that Chelsea's— maybe it's a reflection of how football has evolved, but it's like that team was just so solid defensively, a rock. bro, come on. And then now it's like, it was just a powerful team, you know, when they played. Mourinho was kind of like, it was like, he didn't really park the bus, but all his players really complimented each other and the style that he wanted them to play. And I would argue those teams were better than the one that won the Champions League. So that's why it's like, that's why football's crazy, because you never know.
Yeah, and again, they went on and win 04-05, then they won 05-06. Then, like Johnny said, they started bringing on crazy names. In the same summer, they brought on Michael Ballack from Germany, from Bayern, right? And then they brought in Andriy Shevchenko from AC Milan. Shevchenko went on to flop, right? Bad. But 04-05 and Mourinho's arrival 16 years ago really marked the moment where Chelsea went from being a maybe team to, you know, being a contender, right? Being a part of the big four. They were like Man City before Man City, right? They kind of had that model of spending crazy cash, but paid off for them, I would say.
What do you think has happened between then and now for Mourinho? Like, is it that players are more soft, they can't coach him as hard, or his style's not adapting to the new ways, or he's just lost it? Or because it I look at him now and it's like, he's not what he used to be, man. Like, I don't think he's gonna win at Tottenham. Call me crazy.
He lost his mojo. I think it's a combination, right? Definitely the modern footballer is different. These are millionaires who don't want to be, you know, treated certain ways.
Yeah.
It's harder to get through maybe to them. And I think it's more than anything, it's just his approach. People know how to play against him, you know? Again, his brand of counterattacking, defensively organized football sometimes isn't the prettiest to watch, but it's effective. And again, he's proven that if you've got the right pieces in that system, you can take it to win the Premier League, right? We're talking about in the same time where Arsenal had the invincible team and Manchester United had Fergie's, incredible teams, right? So he definitely was special at that point in time. He then went on to win a treble with Inter, right? And then won La Liga at Real Madrid. I think he just has to, adapt, right? Figure something else out. But the special ones, the big managers do, right? And we'll see. He came on to Spurs during the winter, right? So maybe given some time and given some of his players, right, he'll be able to adjust and return to the greatness of old. Also, 7 years ago today, we had another treble. It's crazy how we keep having these treble celebrations, but it's that time, right? It's that time where the Champions League is usually wrapping up. 7 years ago, yesterday, Bayern Munich won the treble, the only treble that they've won. Mm-hmm. So that's the Champions League, the German League, and the German Cup. And again, if you want to talk about stacked teams, this team coached by Jupp Heynckes, right before Guardiola's arrival, mind you. We knew that it was Heynckes' last season. We knew that Guardiola was going to arrive, and they still won it all when the best coach in the world at that time was just about to arrive. And again, anytime you win a treble is impressive, right? But that team, we're talking Schweinsteiger in the midfield, right? We're talking Ribery and Robin on the wings. It's just a really, really potent team, top to bottom. What do you remember about that team?
I remember Ribery. I don't know about you, but Ribery, I think, was robbed out of a Ballon d'Or that year. I mean, I'm all for Messi and, you know, players of great quality, but Ribery, hands-on, probably the most important player that campaign. Yeah, but it just really set Guardiola up for failure now that I think about it, because how do you improve a treble-winning team? You got to win it again, right? So maybe he comes in, changes how they won that treble, you know, what were their strengths. And I think what you got was just a team that after that treble kind of didn't want to listen to Pep or his ideas. So they ruined them for that, but they won a treble. Really direct football, too. I think that was one of the few times that I had probably cried over a soccer match because they beat Barcelona, a pretty weak Barcelona, but killed them, you know, 7-0 in champs. So I think that was the barometer for, like, damn, they're not playing around.
Yeah. Boateng and Dante in center back. I forgot Dante was on that team, right? Crazy. What do you remember about that Bayern team that won the treble, Johnny?
I remember that mostly with, like how Andre said, they killed Barcelona. Robin and Ribery were just rampant down the sides. It was a stacked team, though. But I feel like Bayern always plays the same brand. This direct kind of, I would say they always play like in a 4-2-3-1 and play across the wings, cut in, 1-2s. Then, like, I don't think they play that much different than this year's team. Obviously, the players on the wings are a little different, but Bayern every year to me plays up to par that they can compete. But that year, I don't know what it was, if it was the motivation or if it was Hinks or Hiddinks, however you say his name. But to comment off of Andres, like, Pep chose to go there before they even finished the season. So he kind of he cursed himself with that one. And that's how football works sometimes, you know. He went there thinking, isn't that a B? He went there thinking that he was probably that Bayern was not going to win the Champions League and that he was going to be the one that took him to the champs, you know. Turns out team won a treble. And he's had trouble ever since to kind of indicate his that he can win the champs.
I think for me, the thing that stands out the most, other than Ribery being stellar that year and possibly having been robbed the Ballon d'Or, the biggest storyline for me was Schweinsteiger. The year before, they played Chelsea in the Champions League final, and he missed a PK. That could have won, or maybe not won, but could have kept Bayern alive, right? In that final where Chelsea finally won the Champions League. So for them to come back and Schweinsteiger be part of that team, he kind of got his redemption, right? And you saw that for me confirmed what I still believe is you don't just walk in and win the Champions League, right? Like PSG just does. They don't understand that a Champions League is a different type of tournament than a full league, right? But you just can't come in and just win it, right? You got to go in and then lose 1 year in the round of 16. And then the next year you get to the semifinals and you lose again. And then the year after that, you finally get to the final and then you lose. But then the year after that, you get to the final and you finally win it, right? Like you have to gain a lot of experience and really build the team. And I think that team and Schweinsteiger in particular really kind of solidified that for me, right? Is you really, really have to earn that Champions League final. And that's in a league competition. And I'm glad that Schweini got his Champions League and then he came to play for the Fire and everything. So that's always a special moment for me. And then the final one that I have is also yesterday was a 1 year anniversary of Liverpool's Champions League win over Tottenham. Can you guys believe that was a year ago? That's crazy. We all met up together and watched this one at Johnny's place last year in sweltering hot conditions. But the big thing I want to point out about this, other than Liverpool winning their sixth Champions League, right, which puts them what, third, right? Madrid's got 13, yeah. AC Milan's got 7, and Liverpool's got 6. But guys, was this possibly the most disappointing Champions League final ever? The game finished 1-0 and the goal was scored in like the first 10 minutes, right, off of PK. Was it,
I think it finished 2-0, wasn't it? 2-1.
Yeah, there's actually, right,
scored.
I'm, yeah,
Origi.
I think the, the thing, yeah, for me, the big thing I remember is the PK and then it being pretty dull after that.
PK was early.
Is that up there for you guys? Is like most disappointing or like most boring or is there another final or match that comes to mind when you think about terrible finals or terrible matchups?
Yeah.
Well, I think what stood out for me was that this last final wasn't really like two sides battling. It was kind of just quick penalty, quick goal, and that kind of set the tone for the rest of the game. You know, I feel like Tottenham didn't have, at that point, the energy, you know, just to compete against Liverpool at that point. And all those comebacks that they had. Definitely not watching that final anytime soon, but, you know, it was all right.
I think the final before that one was pretty bad. The Liverpool-Madrid final. Ramos goes in, then injures Salah, and then Liverpool not being that deep, don't really have anyone to really replace them and
carry us, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it was just like, it was a terrible final for me, at least. I remember another boring final. I mean, I don't think the Dortmund Bayern final was that great either. When Götze was in the stands, couldn't play. They just sold him to Bayern. And Robin has to score, like, late. But
it was
1-1. That game wasn't very, very great to me. The Madrid one, either Madrid versus Atletico until Ramos comes in, 91st, second minute, scores, and then it turned good. But yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, it was pretty boring. But it was good because, I mean, I like Liverpool, and Tottenham was – I'm telling you, Frankie, that's – or telling you guys, that's what always happens. Teams do teams favors. We would have seen Man City versus Liverpool, but instead Tottenham knocks out Man City. And it's like the Champions League is where dreams come true. And that type of stuff happens every year. Look at this year. Atletico took out Liverpool, who was probably easily a top three, top five contender if you want to generalize it, and now they're out.
Yeah, they're done now. It's crazy, right? And then since then, Liverpool's gone on to dominate, and Spurs has gone on to not, right? And Pochettino's not even there anymore. So another cool thing to keep an eye on there, right, over the summer is to see where he ends up coaching. Right? Does he end up going to Newcastle, like they say? Does he go to a bigger club? Who knows?
Man U,
right? If you're not convinced by Solskjaer. Other little random tidbits. Icardi looks like he's staying put at PSG. Looks like they made that permanent. Good move. You guys like that one?
I kind of don't. I don't know. I think he's a bit stagnant striker, kind of a post-up, poacher?
Yeah.
I don't think he's that good with the ball at his feet. He's good with the playing with his back to the goal, but I don't know. I really didn't think they needed him. I'd rather see Mbappe as a forward, but I guess maybe they're preparing for life after him.
Yeah,
even Neymar is a striker, but I don't hate on Icardi. I think he's good. He's depending on the team that he plays. I'm not sure that PSG necessarily fits his style of play, so I don't know why they spent 75 million on him, right? Something like that.
Yeah, I think it's 50 million, but they already have paid some for the loan, right? And I think he's for a while he was hot. He had like a run where he had like 9 goals in like 11 matches or something, and then kind of went cold after. And then I guess I understand why PSG did it. Cavani's leaving, like you said. Mbappe's probably going to leave. Neymar looks like he's going to be leaving, so they need some power there. And honestly, Inter didn't want him back. I think that relationship was done, right, because of his agent wife and all the other drama that went on with the fans and everything. And I think he had to move, but this one I'm still kind of, I'm agreeing with you guys, with you, Johnny. I don't know. I'm kind of scratching my head, and it's just like he likes Paris and being in all of that, so that's why he's staying there, right?
Yeah, I mean, what does Andres got to say?
I mean, yeah, I agree with both of you guys. They were probably preparing for life, you know, after Cavani. You know, all-time leading score for PSG, but that's what they do. They just, you know, probably has other moves for, you know, late stage of his career. And Icardi just makes sense. He had a positive goal differential there, but he's one for the future. I think he's 25, 26, isn't he? Around there. Yeah.
I think he's 20. So, yeah, 26, I think.
Yeah, he's an all-around kind of striker, I feel like.
Good in position. Yeah, he's not bad.
Just makes sense.
Yeah, he's crazy because a lot of his goals are just one touch. Like, he gets the pass and then just, boom, off the shot or whatever. So, completely spot on with what Johnny said, right? He's not really he's a poacher, right? He needs that service. He's not a guy who's going to create, right, or be making crazy, you know, runs into space necessarily. So, yeah, we'll see how. But Inter is going to love the money there, and they'll probably use that to replace
Lautaro. Pay Alexis Sanchez.
Or maybe some crazy like that, right? Pay Alexis Sanchez, or maybe Martinez leaves and they want another striker. Who knows? I'm reading that Inter wants Lacazette possibly from Arsenal. So, all kinds of stuff to monitor. Another random tidbit. Yesterday, on June 1st, that super mysterious, super low-key clause in Messi's contract that allowed him to just walk out of Barcelona at the end of the season expired yesterday. So, Barcelona fans, Messi fans, you don't have to worry about him leaving Barcelona this summer. That clause is expired. So, he's staying. I don't think that was ever really in doubt, but just kind of.
Oof. I mean, it could have been.
Yeah, they
bounced out of the champs again this year, but now he's like, they didn't play because right now we would have known who was champ already.
True. Actually, that probably did change a lot. Actually, that's a really good point. He has said he only wants to go back to Argentina, but who knows? Maybe he comes play for Beckham. All right, cool. Well, we can wrap things up with the picks for this weekend. Of course, four matches. All four are from the Bundesliga. I tried to pick the most exciting ones, or some of the ones that weren't like super obvious to pick. Again, you can watch Bundesliga Saturday and Sunday on FS1, FS2, Unimas, I believe, has a Saturday or Sunday match. So, yeah, check that out. You can also do, I think, Fubo TV, a couple other free trials. This Friday, we have two teams that are in the top seven. Two teams that are in not necessarily the top seven, but in the European positions. We have Gladbach versus Freiburg. Freiburg, I believe, is sixth. They're hanging in there, right behind Leverkusen. And Gladbach is in fourth. But they're tied with Leverkusen. So, who you guys got, Freiburg or Gladbach?
What does Freiburg have?
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I probably could name a Freiburg player, but they're right there competing for for the Europa spots.
I'll go tie then.
Okay, you're gonna go tie.
Yeah. What about you, Andres?
I'm going to go Freiburg. I think they stay hot.
I'm going to go Gladbach. I saw them play this weekend, and they have a really good young team. Marcus Thuram. They got a couple Frenchmen in Playa. And I forget the other kid's name. But they were looking pretty lethal up top. And they actually scored a bunch of goals, too. I believe that match finished with at least four goals as well. So that's a fun one because we all picked something different. So Johnny's got the draw, Andres has got Freiburg, and I've got Gladbach. So moving on to Saturday, all three of these next matches are on Saturday. I guess the big one this weekend, fifth place Leverkusen versus Bayern Munich. Who you guys got?
I got Bayern. The offense keeps rolling.
I don't know. This is tough. I kind of want to go with Leverkusen, but I'll go tie again.
Drop points?
Yeah, I'll go tie again. Havertz. Yeah. You saw that Havertz was – I see it on the memes. You guys see the Snapchat memes? For football, it's a really good one. I'm blanking on the name, but it gave us that stat that Havertz was about to be the youngest Bundesliga player to reach 30 goals.
Oh yeah,
by the age of 20,
mm-hmm.
And then Sancho with his sexy ass gets a haircut and scores a hat trick and beats him to it. Right?
I didn't know that. Actually, that's a good stat. I actually didn't realize that Sancho pipped him to it this weekend too.
Yeah, so I keep hearing him more and more. So that's why I want to say Leverkusen has to make some type of statement in this game, especially after losing last week or whatever they did. I'm coming around to Havertz, I want to say. He is a solid player. I just don't know what he really plays still. Like, kind of midfield, but kind of, like, attacking forward, like, right behind, but, like...
The Firmino, maybe?
I don't know, but I am coming around to... I've been seeing him a little bit more. He's not bad. He's pretty good, and he's young, so...
So you got to
but go, yeah, I'll right? go. Yeah, I'll go tie.
All right, I'm going to go Leverkusen on this. I'm being a little bit optimistic, but somebody's got to trip up Bayern, right? This is it right now. Havertz is in good form. They've got some other good young players there. I mean, Dortmund couldn't test them, right? So I can totally see why people would, like, laugh at me for picking Leverkusen. But this is it. This is, I think, the last hurdle for Bayern. If they get past this, it's done and dusted for sure. So yeah. I'm going for broke with Leverkusen. And probably the easiest one to pick, Leipzig, RB versus Paderborn. Who you guys got?
Leipzig.
Yeah, RB Leipzig, bro.
All right, yeah, that one. I'm sorry, I had to ask. I had to ask. Leipzig is in the top four there, so I think we all agree Leipzig could win that one. And then finally, another really interesting matchup. Hertha Berlin is on fire right now. Since we've returned, I don't think they've lost since we've returned. But they've been putting up a lot of goals, too. They're playing Dortmund. Haaland should be back. Looks like all the big players minus Royce are back. So who you guys got? Dortmund or Hertha Berlin?
I don't know. It still sounds... You're convincing me on that Hertha.
Hertha Berlin winning.
Oof. Dortmund dropping another one out of this? Okay.
Yeah, I think they were nervy. I think they haven't recovered. I mean, yeah, it helps that they trashed, you know, the last game that they won. But I think they didn't look comfortable until the floodgates kind of opened.
Did they say how long Haaland's out for?
I think it was just the one match. He should be back this weekend.
Given a more dynamic team in Hertha, I feel like this is their probably chance to, you know, get some points on the top of the table. So.
I'm going to just go tie again.
Tie. I'm going to go Dortmund because they got to keep the pressure on. And just as the – I mean, I agree, and I saw the whole match, and they were kind of lost in the first half. With Chan and Axel Witsel back, I think they can get some more control. Guerrero is playing great. Hakimi is playing great. They're both scoring and assisting. Sancho and Hazard and Brandt are all, you know, looking like they're clicking. So I'm gonna go BVB. We all have split on this one too. That's so two.
You definitely convinced me to go Dortmund.
All right, so you're going Dortmund then. Yeah. I was just about to say three out of the four were split, but now they're not. All right, so that's four matches, four picks for each of us. We'll let you know who wins. Johnny's going for the three-peat next weekend. Hopefully we'll be able to stop him. But yeah, that's pretty much all we got for you guys. Once again, look out for the Bundesliga matches. There's one tomorrow, Wednesday. I'm not sure. I think that's only on FS2 or one of the, you know, the harder channels to find or to stream. So watch those Saturday and Sunday. Get ready for the return of the other leagues in a few weeks. And once again, thank you guys for watching. Thank you guys for commenting, sharing, and liking. And we'll come back next week. Thank you guys once again. For Johnny, Andres, and Rafa the boy, thanks again, everybody. We'll see you next time. And don't forget, Black Lives Matter. Fuck systemic racism.
Yep. Preach. See you guys. Hey, yo. Stay positive.
Peace. Right, folks.